Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place I will read by way of background from Leviticus 13, the verses 45 to 46, and then from our text, which is Luke 5, verses 12 through 16. And you can find the scripture reading this morning on the insert in your bulletins. On one side of that insert is the scripture reading, and the other side is an outline of this morning's message. But let's begin by way of background, Leviticus 13, the verses 45 to 46, and then from Luke 5, the verses 12 to 16. This is the Word of God. Let us pay careful attention to the reading of God's Word. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn cloths and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And then from Luke 5, beginning at verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Luke chapter 5 and Leviticus 13. Keep in mind again the outline there on your insert that was in your bulletins. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, the Ebola crisis in 2014 may have been the closest thing that many of us have ever seen in terms of a modern leprosy life experience. You may remember the U.S. medical doctor who went to Africa to help out with the Ebola crisis that had already killed thousands of African people and even destroyed entire villages. He came down with this contagious disease himself. He was brought back to the United States. Some of you can perhaps remember the television viewing on live TV of the helicopter landing on top of the hospital, of the men in the hazmat suits meeting the helicopter, the wheeling of the patient enclosed in a bubble into the hospital for treatment. Later, another man who had been to Africa was sick with Ebola, and he didn't know it. He went to a hospital in Dallas area where he entered the hospital and was admitted, and the workers were unprepared for Ebola. And sure enough, they came down with it too. An alert sounded, warning about people who had been in African countries, again entering the United States and not spreading the disease. Later, a New York doctor who had been to Africa came down with the disease, and it was found out after he had ridden on a subway in New York City, and fear that perhaps anyone who rode the subway may have contacted or contracted the disease, having come into contact with him. A call for some to ban people for entering our country that had been exposed or had been in a country with the disease. All of this a serious concern for a time, and for a time made us all think about whether these people should be banned and what we should do to protect ourselves from such a disease. For some, it made us sympathize with those who had this very serious and contagious disease, how such a disease, such an infection, could separate them from people. Perhaps banned from your own country, separated from loved ones, and living on your own. This crisis for a time certainly made Christians think about what it must have been like biblical times to come down with a disease like leprosy. What was it like for a person who had this contagious disease in biblical times with no cure? What was it like for a person destined to complete separation from people, from loved ones, and the desperation in the person's heart to be made clean or to be healed? And it helps you understand the hope of the leper when he heard about Jesus and that he knew that Jesus alone could make him clean. And yet, what is most important for you to identify with this morning is how the leper's condition is really the picture of a sinner who cannot save himself and the need he has for Jesus' saving grace. Well, let's start out this morning with the leper's condition and how the leper's condition mirrors the spiritual state of the sinner and of the believer. First, the condition. Now, the first thing that we see is the leper's condition physically. The Bible tells us, even in the Old Testament, descriptions are given how leprosy was a feared and dreaded disease. Throughout the Old Testament and even into the New, a person who had come down with leprosy as a full case was someone who was disgraced, someone who was left behind and separated from society. There was no cure. A person with leprosy would be covered with boils, skin burns, rashes. A leper's skin would often itch, and eventually it could lead to the decay of the body parts infected with leprosy. Some forms of leprosy, the most severe forms, it would have a bacteria that would attack the nervous system of a person. It would lead to the decay of their bones. Sometimes parts of your body would just fall off, and the attack on the nervous system would leave you without feeling in certain body parts. A leper was known at times to pick up something hot and burn their body and not even know or feel the pain that was suffered. The Bible tells us it was one of the most dreadful and highly contagious diseases of the day, and no medical cure available. But the second thing to note was not only the physical difficulty, but the social implications, the communal implications of one who had such a disease. Because the disease was so contagious, anyone who had leprosy was quarantined from others. Lepers were forced to live outside of the community, even as I read from the law this morning in Leviticus chapter 13. Forced to live outside the camp, told to live in a colony outside of the city, a colony of other lepers, sometimes living in a cave, separated from society and from loved ones. Lepers, as we saw this morning, reading from Leviticus 13, were also even separated from the people of God. Leviticus 13, again, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Upon entering the city, upon nearing other people, a leper was told to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning that he was approaching someone with the disease. "So no one get near me, no one touch me, lest you too contract the disease." But even more severe than the physical implications and the social implications was the spiritual condition of the leper. According to the Old Testament law, as I read a moment ago, the spiritual condition of the leper is that you are unclean in terms of society, but even more importantly, unclean before God. The leper was someone viewed, according to the Old Testament law, as a person who was cursed by God. As someone who is unclean and cursed by God, you were banned from the temple. That meant lepers didn't bring their offerings and their sacrifices to the priest. Lepers did not have the opportunity to go to the temple and bring their sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. They were banned from the temple, and it was obvious by their physical appearance that they were unclean and not able to approach the temple and to approach God himself. In God's eyes, they were unclean. And as a leper in full-blown leprosy, you were unclean with no cure. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, in the book of Leviticus 13 and 14, they do describe lesser forms of leprosy, maybe not the full-blown, incurable kind, but throughout the Old Testament, for example, as we saw weeks ago concerning Naaman, I understand you had a sermon on Naaman here while I was gone. He was someone who was white as snow, the description was given. Someone who has it so bad that it comes to a point where there is no way he can be cured. Leviticus does describe lesser forms or milder forms where a person over time can be able to be cured or be declared clean by the priest, but the full-blown leprosy had no cure. Well, that helps you understand then the leper who came to Jesus in Luke chapter 5. Now, the first thing we notice about this leper is that he had, as it tells us in verse 12, full of leprosy. He had the full-blown form of leprosy, not the milder form. And Luke, who is a physician, the writer who is a physician, records this detail alone that the other gospel writers do not record when he records this story. This is a man who does not have a milder form. He has the most severe form, the incurable form. He has no way, no cure, that he will ever be cleansed of his leprosy. But while Jesus, verse 12, is in one of the cities, here comes this leper full of leprosy. The Old Testament law required him to enter the city saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. You can imagine the crowd around Jesus that had gathered around him because Jesus, as we're told in the previous chapter, had crowds following him everywhere. And even as we see in the closing verses of our text today, great crowds are following him, great crowds around him in a city, and here comes a leper in full-blown leprosy entering into the city and having to call out, unclean, unclean. And yet, when this leper sees Jesus, what does he do in front of them all? We're told that he saw Jesus, verse 12, and he fell on his face and he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Again, this leper is without hope. And when he falls on his face and when he begs Jesus, he is taking on the posture of someone who knows that he is unclean. He takes on the posture of someone who recognizes he is unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus. He takes on the same posture that we saw of Peter when Peter saw Jesus in the previous part of chapter 5 bringing in the fish. Peter falls on his knees before Jesus in humility and confesses that he is a sinner. This leper comes in the humility, the recognition that he does not deserve to be before Jesus, the recognition that he is unclean, that he is a leper, that he has no hope without coming to Jesus. And look what he said to Jesus, having fallen on his face. He begged him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He calls him Lord. That's a recognition, a confession on his part that he recognizes Jesus is God. He is Lord, the same words that Peter spoke earlier in chapter 5. But notice what he said, "Lord, if you will." You see, this is not a faith healing. This is not a healing in which we see today where some ministers try to do faith healings and the reason for your healing is if the person has enough faith. They'll call the person forward to stand up in front of the people. They'll call the people forward that need something healed and say, "If you have enough faith, if you believe that God can heal you, you can be healed." That's not what the beggar is doing when he comes to Jesus. Instead, the beggar knows, or the leper knows, he is a sinner. He begs on his knees because he knows he is unclean. He knows Jesus is God. And he comes to him and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He doesn't have any status. He doesn't come and say, "Lord, I'm entitled to you making me clean. I was born in such and such a family. I am a good person and tried to live a good life. I tried as a person to be faithful to you. And you know what? If you heal me, I'm going to be a faithful believer the rest of my life." None of those things are mentioned. He comes to Jesus and he said, "If you will. If you are willing, if you will bestow your grace and salvation on me, I can't choose you. I can't decide I want it. If you will, Lord, you can make me clean." You see, the leper is showing and bearing the marks of faith. That he comes as all sinners do when they come to Jesus. They recognize that they are unclean before God. They know that there is nothing in their power they can do, and there's nothing on earth which can take that sin away. They will always be unclean and sinners before God. They're born in sin. Unable to save themselves. There is no cure in the world. Their only hope is to go to Jesus. And this leper, second of all, not only recognizing he's a sinner, but he goes to Jesus and he knows that Jesus alone can save him. As if the sinner falls before him in humility, as the sinner knows that his only hope is in Jesus Christ, who can alone take away their sin. And their only hope is nothing they do, but that Jesus would bestow his grace upon them and make them clean. And so when Jesus responds to him, when Jesus cleanses him, you see that there are two things that Jesus does. The first thing that we see Jesus do in verse 13 is he touches him. The text tells us, "And Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him." Now think about that and what that means. Go back to how I began this sermon and the helicopter landing in Atlanta. Think about how the patient gets off the helicopter and the suits that the people around him are wearing and the bubble and the protective place that they are have put this patient. Think about the fact that they would then, as Jesus does, remove all of that, no rubber gloves, and touch this highly contagious, diseased person. You see, what Jesus does when he touches him, he does the unthinkable. He does what no leper or no person would ever do to a leper in that day. The last thing you would want to do was to touch a leper. You might get the disease, and you also might come down and be declared unclean as the leper is declared unclean. But remember what Jesus went through at his baptism. When Jesus submitted to the baptism of John, he was demonstrating his willingness to take the sins of the people upon himself. Jesus is willing to bear the curse of the sinner. Jesus is willing to touch the unclean leper and transfer what that leper is cursed with by the leper's sin upon himself. And Jesus will go to the cross. That's why he's come, to pay for the leper's sins. And so when Jesus touches the leper, it is a sign, it is a picture of what Jesus has come to do. He has come to touch, to take away the uncleanness of the leper, the diseased leper, the curse of God, and he's taking that upon himself. The second thing that we see Jesus do after touching him is he tells him in verse 13, "I will be clean." Now notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, well, God is willing. Jesus acknowledges in his answer that he is God. I am willing. I am God. I am the one who can and will and does make sinners clean. And I am willing to take your sin and curse and put it upon myself and make you clean. And notice what it follows up this verse to say. After Jesus said, "I will be clean," we're told that immediately the leprosy left the leper. You see, by his word and by his power, he has made the leper clean. And Jesus, when he states to the leper, "Be clean," is declaring the leper clean. And following that cleansing, we're told that immediately the leprosy left him. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament law in Leviticus 13 and 14, you will see in those two chapters a complete laying out of the process of what it would take for a leper to be cured or to be declared clean. As I mentioned a moment ago, there were milder forms of leprosy that people would come down with. And through a long process of several days or perhaps even several weeks, they would go back again and again to the priest. And the priest would look them over and look over their skin condition and determine whether they were clean or cured. And following the cleansing or the curing or the being declared clean, they would then have a process where the person lived in their house or whatever it was, there would be a time of cleansing that would have to take place before the person could return to his normal life and to normal. Throughout those chapters, we're told what it means for a priest to recognize a person that has it, what it would mean for a person to live with it, and what it would take for a priest to declare the person cleansed of it. But in verse 13, we're told that when Jesus said, "Be clean," immediately the leprosy left him. The leper does not have to wait. God's power and Jesus' cleansing from sin can change a person's spiritual condition immediately. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go through a long process. There's nothing more you can do. But sinners who come to Jesus in humility and recognize their unworthiness, who know and believe who God is, and that God alone through his Son, Jesus Christ, can save them from their sins, they are saved and cleansed of their sins immediately. They don't have to wait. Jesus makes them right with God. And so Jesus tells the leper to leave, or he tells him that he's clean. And we see in this passage that as Jesus concludes, he is speaking to the leper, and we're learning something about the identity of Jesus and why he has come. Now, when we look at the miracles of Jesus in the New Testament, there's always three things that we see in a miracle. First, a miracle reveals who Jesus is. Clearly, this miracle has told us Jesus is God. The leper calls him Lord, and only God can cure a leper, and Jesus does this. The second thing that we're told a miracle does is a miracle tells us something about what Jesus brings. So Jesus comes, he's been identified as God, and what Jesus brings is salvation from sin as applied to the leper. He's clean. And the third thing a New Testament miracle does is the New Testament miracle points to what Jesus has brought and what's ahead. And what's ahead is heaven itself and being with God. This leper is cleansed. This leper has been made right with God by Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ, God's Son, has come to do. And yet, as we come to the closing verses of this account, we're told that Jesus speaks to the leper again. And there's two things Jesus speaks to him about, which reveals to us something about Jesus' identity. First of all, we're told, verse 14, that Jesus charged him to tell no one. Now think about what that means. We're commonly thinking about the gospel and about the coming of Jesus in the context of the book of Acts, which takes place after Jesus' death and resurrection. And so Jesus gives to his disciples and he gives to the church the Great Commission. And as Jesus speaks the Great Commission for the church and for believers to go throughout the world and to preach the gospel, the Lord commands us to tell everyone and do not keep it quiet. But when it comes to Jesus' instructions to the leper, who has been cleansed, who has been healed, who now can go to the temple and worship God, Jesus charges him to tell no one. Why does Jesus tell him not to say anything to anyone? Well, we've already seen earlier in chapter 4 and now at the end of chapter 5 one reason why. And one reason why is because of the popularity of Jesus concerning the miraculous things that he does. If you look at verse 15, you see, "But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, and he would withdraw to desolate places to pray." You see, the miracle is supposed to reveal three things about Jesus: who he is, that he's God; what he has come to bring, which is salvation; what is ahead, and that is heaven. But the people that are now coming to Jesus do not recognize or see or understand those things. The leper understood, and the leper has been cured, not only of his earthly infirmity, but also his spiritual infirmity. But the people of the crowds are following. The people of the crowds are gathering because they like to watch the miracles. They like to watch the healings because they see there's something about him which Jesus has come to bring. But their only focus is not heaven. Their focus, because they don't understand him, is this earth. They want to be healed of their pain and sickness so they can go back to their earthly life and live it without pain and sickness. They are attracted to Jesus. They see something about him because they see the power of God. But their focus, as we'll see throughout the gospel, is not about heaven and eternal salvation. Their focus is they want a Messiah to lead their armies against Rome and reestablish a Jewish nation here on this earth. And so when Jesus speaks to the leper, because he knows the people do not fully understand why he has come and the reason he is here, he tells the leper at this point to tell no one. Once Jesus dies on the cross, once he's risen from the grave, once the fullness of God's salvation is revealed, he commissions the disciples and his people to tell everyone throughout the world. But all of that in Luke 5, has yet to take place. And so the first thing that Jesus does is he tells him to say nothing. But the second thing that Jesus does in verse 2 is he tells him to go and show yourself to the priest and to make an offering for cleansing, for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. Now, you read that end of the verse and you say to yourself, well, is that really what needs to be done? Why does Jesus do this? For hasn't Jesus come to fulfill the temple? Hasn't Jesus come to take away the Old Testament way of doing things and to look to him, the one true sacrifice for sin? Why does Jesus then send him to the temple and to the priest, and to follow the Old Testament law? Well, one reason, of course, is that the law has yet to be fulfilled. That at this time, with Jesus coming and not yet having gone to the cross, the temple system is still in existence, and the Old Testament laws are still required. And Jesus is encouraging the leper, or instructing the leper, to follow the Old Testament commands as prescribed in the book of Leviticus. But we also recognize that as Jesus sends him, you notice the last part of that verse says, for a proof to them. You see, there's a fulfillment purpose for Jesus sending him to the priest. A leper who had an incurable disease is now healed. He was full of leprosy beyond hope, and now he can go to the priest and he's cured of his leprosy immediately, and he can show the priest and be declared clean. Jesus sends him to the priest to show and testify to the priest as proof that one greater than Moses, greater in then the law of Moses reveals that one has come. And when the priest looks at the leper who's been cleansed, every priest can know that the only thing a priest can do upon looking at a leper that has been cleansed is declare the leper clean. But no priest in the Old Testament and all the way up to Luke chapter 5 in the Bible is able to change the condition of a leper. No priest has the power to make a leper clean. Jesus alone can do what a priest can never do. Jesus, the Son of God, has come, and he can make a leper clean. And not only does he do it through his supernatural power and work, but Jesus, the Son of God, will go to the cross, and he will bear the curse of the sin of the leper and of all of his people upon himself, so that the leper and all sinners can be made clean. The significance of the health of the Old Testament leper is the picture of all sinners. All sinners are unfit for heaven and are unclean. And yet, if you belong to Jesus Christ, what is described in these verses is what has happened to you and your life. You were born into this world as a guilty sinner, unclean and unfit for heaven. You have no hope of eternal life. You have no hope of being made clean out of anything you can do or anyone or person or medication or any place you could go in this world. As a sinner, you are unfit for heaven and unclean, and there is no cure. Your only hope is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can make you clean. You have come to hear about the salvation of Jesus Christ, the gospel that has come, and you have come to believe that Jesus alone can make you clean. You've gone before him, acknowledged that you're a sinner, and you've prayed if he would be willing to make you clean. Not about your faith. It's not about your decision. It's not about anything about you which is deserving, but it's all of his grace, which is bestowed from him unto you. And like the leper, he has touched you by transferring your sin to himself in his death on the cross, and he was willing to make you clean, to make you right with God. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to wait 7 days for a priest to determine that you've been cleansed. Salvation from God through his Son Jesus Christ is immediate. And now, for the one greater than Moses has come, the one who has fulfilled the law, the one who alone can take away your sin. What can wash away my sin? We will sing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this scripture passage which puts before us the grace that has come to us in Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, that though we were born in sin, your Spirit has worked in us to come to know and believe that Jesus Christ, your Son, has come to earth, and that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, has gone to the cross and has paid for our sin. We rejoice, Lord, that we have come to know him. We rejoice that you have worked in us to acknowledge that we are sinners. We rejoice, Lord, that he is willing to bestow his grace and forgiveness upon us. And Father, we pray that you would enable us as your people to know and understand the unworthiness of this grace, and to know and understand the fullness of this grace, that we have been made clean. Father, we pray your grace would continue to work in us each day, that we would live each day as if we belong to the Savior, that people would see in us the wonderful grace and the cleansing work of our Savior in our lives. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.